who donate to this NPR station.
Good morning and welcome to True Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah, who is stuck on I-75. But thanks to our wonderful assistant, Patty, we can still do this show live on the air while I had my car parked on the side. Stay tuned. You're going to love this show. I'm going to play a segment of a CPAC debate that took place last week. Listen to this lovely music and we're going to be right back. Welcome back to True Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah. As I mentioned earlier, I left the house 10 minutes before 8, and I was able to cover like maybe 15 miles on I-75. There was an accident, so I took an exit to Sarasota and parked so I can do this show live. So thanks to our great assistant, Patty, who can make it happen. So there was this CPAC conference. It was held in Maryland. The president and vice president and so many other people attended it and had speeches there. So there was this interesting side panel, and I'm going to read the title for it. Prospects for Defeating the Current Global Assault on Freedom of Speech by Both the Global Jihad Movement and the Radical Left, Often in Alliance. So obviously, the global jihad movement is in alliance with the radical left. And I assume the radical left is Western, probably Christian, probably white, not Muslim, not Arab. And if I understand what they refer to as a global jihad, their understanding of it, those are people who don't like Western, Christian, left. So I'm not sure how this lecture and how this debate can connect them together. But the guy or the gentleman who is running this debate is called Frank Gaffney. If you go to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is one of the very reputable American human rights organizations and defenders of minorities, whether they are Muslim, Christian, Jews, gays, whatever you have it, it's a very interesting organization that I think you should be following. It's called Southern Poverty Law Center, or the abbreviation is splccenter.org. You can go there. So how do they describe Frank Gaffney? They say he once was a respectable Washington insider, but now he is considered one of America's most notorious Islamophobes. If you remember when candidate Trump was reading from a piece of paper and he mentioned something about Islam and Muslims and banning them from entering the country, he was reading a study that Frank Gaffney wrote, or he was copying from his Center for Security Policy. He has a paranoia from this idea that Muslims are going to destroy the West from within. So it's not like the Muslims immigrating or immigrants. No, it's me and Ahmed and my husband and all the people you come across while you live in the States. We are the danger. We are trying to implement creeping Sharia and force you to follow Islamic religious law, although Islamic religious law is only applicable to Muslims the way, for instance, Jewish law, al-halaqa, is only applicable to Jewish people, and same thing with Christians. So anyways, this is Frank Gaffney, and he, in the first part, he really talks about China and the other, he calls it the red threat. But with the two later ladies, you will listen to a British woman and an American woman. And what's interesting is that I just want to tell you that the British woman will be talking about the no zones in Sweden, and how she wasn't able to go into a subway station, and she was prevented from disembarking by another caring woman because she was afraid for her life. So when I was preparing for the show, I went to Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S. Most of you probably know this site where you can go to figure out if that what you're reading is fake news or real news. So I did my homework, and of course, it does not exist. So the first part of what she's saying is a total lie. But again, she gets to lecture to CPAC, the Conservative Union, and, you know, people who do policy are there. So listen, this is Frank Gaffney last week or 10 days ago in Maryland with this panel debate, and where they talk about Islam and Muslims. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines and take your phone calls. So listen to this.
To talk about the green part of the red-green axis, the Islamists, the Sharia supremacists, as Father Mahana was saying earlier, who are much in evidence in Europe, not just in her own country, but in Europe more generally. And she has taken it upon herself to share with us the implications of failing to understand that what is happening to Europe today is what is envisioned for us in the future. So I want to introduce to you Katie Hopkins, who has to her credit, among other things, a role as an award-winning documentarian, a columnist for national newspapers in the United Kingdom, a radio talk show host, a best-selling author. In her spare time, she seems to be a mother, as well as a public speaker of renown. It's amazing. I'm tired just reading it, but she's, in addition, now has a relationship with the Rebel Media. You can find more information about her at HopkinsWorld.com. So, Katie Hopkins, welcome to the United States.
Thank you.
Great to have you here.
Thank you. I think that's very fair, actually. Seems to be a mother. That's exactly what my husband would say on occasion as well. Just a little bit of me seeming to be a mother on a sort of a Friday afternoon at about 4 o'clock. Thank you very much for having me here. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to be amongst like-minded people. I said earlier when we were speaking, you know, being in America, being here at CPAC is very much like taking a warm bath. Like, it's very enjoyable to be in, to be amongst. I can say what I think. Everyone's very lovely, and everyone's very charming, and everyone wants to work hard and play fair. I think being in the UK and Western Europe is very much like standing in a cold shower with someone tipping ice on your head. It's kind of like an endurance thing. You just have to withstand it and hope that one day it might stop. And certainly the Islamic invasion of Western Europe is probably not a laughing matter. With a freedom for us, I fear freedom has truly been lost. And my main message here at CPAC is that America does not want to become like Western Europe. Do not become us. Do not let yourselves fall as the UK has fallen. And I say that with every respect for my country. I love my country. I joined the army, went through Sandhurst, wanted to fight for my country, and now do it by other means. I love the place I came from. The problem is that many of us no longer recognize it anymore, that my inbox is filled with emails from elderly ladies and gentlemen, not that old, actually. My mother would tell me off if I said that 72 was old, but from elderly ladies and gentlemen who say to me that they're glad their time's nearly up because they don't want to be around when they see their country finally fall. And that's truly the place we're at. And I would say that if we want to be careful of things, that so much of what we see is not true. One of the examples I've watched and witnessed has been the migrant invasion that has been very much coordinated, paid for, enabled by Western governments. And they use a vehicle called NGOs, non-governmental organizations, charities, which we've heard a lot about in recent weeks. Those NGOs, to me, are very much governments at work. And the replacement of white conservative Christians in particular is very clear to observe. I spent a summer going from Libya to Sicily to southern Italy with the migrant trail. We're told that these migrants are on terribly small boats, that they're putting their lives at risk, young women and children fleeing for their lives from Libya. What I actually found was a mafia-controlled rig of people, that small boats, small little dinghies, the ones you see in the media with small children being picked off them, but there's no children to be found. It's all young men of fighting age who've managed to elbow their way to the front, who have the funds to be able to do that and endure Libya. A small tugboat tugs the small dinghy out of Libyan waters into the Med, and then the NGO boats are dispatched to go and rescue those guys on that rig. And those NGO boats, like Save the Children and others, are dispatched on a certain day, coordinated by time, and work as a ferry service across the Med. That is being supported by huge funds at €45 a head per man that arrives on the shores of Italy, and they're given accommodation and they are paid. And now the hotels in southern Italy, of course, it's much more lucrative to fill your hotel with migrants at €45 a day than it is to try and seek the tourist dollar. And so hotels in southern Italy are full of migrants paid €45 a day. And when you ask anyone, where's this coming from? Where's it coming? It's always Rome. All roads lead to Rome when it comes to human trafficking across the Med. That's a curious thing in itself. I spent some time in the camp at Calais, the jungle camp, where these migrants end up because their ultimate destination is very often the UK, if not Germany. I don't know why anybody would want to go to Germany, but, you know, there we are. So they end up in Calais. I went to Calais, spent a couple nights there, but I wanted to really kind of be amongst it. Too many journalists, I think, turn up, get a bit of B-roll, and leave again after a couple hours, and I always find that a curious kind of journalism, more about them being seen somewhere than them finding out any truths. But at my time there, I was looking hard for women and children and found none. I found at night by the roadside where they try and get onto the trucks, I found one woman with a young son. The next day I went back into camp to try and find her. She was Eritrean. And I was in the wrong area. I was in the Afghan area. And the Afghans were like, what are you doing? No, no, she's Eritrean. She wouldn't be here. And I went to the Somali area and no, she's Eritrean. She wouldn't be here. And we imagine somehow in this grand notion we have of people arriving and starting a new life, we like to believe in that we are a nation of migrants. You hear it all the time. Yeah. But the immigrants that arrived in New York wanted to start a better life. The immigrants that arrive in the jungle camp at Calais come with every single old hatred they ever had. The Eritreans hate the Afghans who hate the Somalis. And they couldn't even believe that I was in the Afghan area asking for a Somali woman. Eritrean woman, I apologize. When I found her eventually, it turned out she didn't have a young son at all. She had a young girl. But by night she dressed her son, her daughter, as a son, as a boy, so that no one would try and take her away. And that's the reality of the camp in the jungle at Calais. And when Trump talked about no-go zones in Sweden and all of the left-wing media mocked him, they don't exist, they said, walking through the pedestrian zone in Stockholm, which is very nice indeed, unless, of course, an Islamist jihadi drives a truck down it and smashes up our children, as has been the case. But I walked the no-go zones of Sweden. Then only three subway stops outside of Stockholm, you hit those suburbs, Rinkeby and others. And there is no white people there. There are no women there with their heads uncovered. A lady, a third generation migrant, tried to stop me getting off the bus I was on. No, 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 wrong place, wrong person, wrong place, she said. That's in Sweden, in Western Europe. I'm in the wrong, she was frightened for me. Eventually I found a young girl, a white girl, who happened to live in Rinkeby because she couldn't afford to move. And she was broken into a week before. And the police, when she rang them, they couldn't come because it's too dangerous now for the police to police those zones. And when she goes home at night, she's not allowed to carry pepper spray, even though there's rape gangs there. As you'll know, the statistics on rape gangs in Sweden are off the chart. She's not allowed to carry pepper spray because the liberal feminists in Sweden have made it such that a woman accidentally pepper sprayed the wrong member of a rape gang and she was prosecuted for doing such a thing. So the liberal feminist, she had to hide her face when I interviewed her and wrote this up for a column. She didn't want her face published, not because she was frightened of the immigrant gangs, but she was frightened of the liberal feminists because they would come and attack her for being Islamophobic. And of course, so many of my kind, I don't know what kind that is, people would say I'm screaming, the biggest bitch in Britain is a label, or you know, the British Ann Coulter, or an angry Ellen DeGeneres. There's another favourite. I don't guess, I'm not even a lesbian. It's very disappointing at times. You know, they'll come for us any which way they can, of course. I've been arrested and interviewed under caution by the Major Crime and Homicide Command. Those are people that deal with serial killers. Two men in a police station interviewing me about a column I wrote where I called migrants cockroaches. I stand by that, of course. I have been threatened with repatriation from Australia for mentioning that I thought Ebola was a particularly efficient way of cleansing certain types of people. It's a little harsh, I appreciate that, but sometimes we have to be harsh to make a point. They do attack us slightly, but I think once you're being attacked, you know you're certainly over the target. Earlier on this year, two people were sent to prison because their plan was to behead me. As a wedding gift, the Muslim lady had asked the Muslim gentleman she was going to marry to behead me. That was her wedding gift. She'd gone out and bought a plastic dummy and a stabbing knife, and he'd practiced stabbing the plastic dummy before coming for me. Unfortunately, they got them first, and they've now been sent down, and I live to fight another day. But the threat against our personal individual freedoms for speaking out about the truths that I've gone to find is clearly evident wherever I am. But I would say, I went to a Swedish fire station. It's called the toughest fire station in Sweden. It deals with the hardest fires in the hardest places. And I met the chief fireman. He's an exceptionally good-looking gentleman. So I made excuses to talk for a very long time. But they were just having a new fence, huge, huge fence built, because the fire rigs were under attack by the migrants. They'd come and stolen the cutting equipment because it's useful for breaking into homes. They would steal the truck tires off the rigs. They would steal anything they could get their hands on. Even to go and respond to a fire in Malmo, they would require a police escort because they have to have someone patrolling the fire engine in order that there isn't stuff stolen from it whilst it's trying to answer a fire. And also because the migrants call in fake fires in order to attack the fire engines and the people serving on them. So actually it's become a kind of disaster zone. Now I said to this gentleman, bear in mind we all talk about walls a lot, I said, is this going to be the way? Are we going to build more walls to keep people out? And he said, no. In future we'll build walls to keep the people we love inside. And that's really stayed with me, that line. I've only just got back from South Africa, and that itself looked a little bit dodgy for a while when they confiscated my passport for hate crimes because I'd been investigating the slaughter of white farmers in South Africa 2 weeks ago. And I got my passport back and left. But what I found in South Africa, of course, is precisely that. People live behind huge fences, huge walls, gated communities to keep the minority white population safe. There's only 8% whites left in South Africa. They say within 10 years they'll all be gone because they'll have been hunted to extinction. It strikes me that the world wants to talk about the hunting of the white rhino, but it doesn't talk about the hunting of the white farmer in South Africa. And I think it's a deeply upsetting thing that we're moving to a model where we live behind gates in order to try to be safe. I think that's a very difficult thing, but that's what the people of South Africa see. So when I think about freedom, it's a curious idea, but from what I've seen and the passage I've seen throughout Western Europe, from Libya to Sicily to Calais to Sweden in the UK and then to South Africa, is we will indeed end up living behind gated communities in order to keep the people we love safe inside. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, we've now got a better fix, I guess, on who the enemy is.
Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah, and we already are getting phone calls, people saying, what is playing on WMNF? Well, that's the kind of people that are brought sometimes from outside the country. In this, in Kathy's case, she came from Britain in order to talk about, her name is Kathy Hopkins, to talk about the threat from Muslims. I mean, this is short of just like having a call and saying, let's get to these American Muslims in town. So we are already getting phone calls, people trying to figure out why WMNF is running this. WMNF is running this, and True Talk is showing you a sample of the hatred that is being preached out. And this lecture was attended by hundreds of people in a CPAC event, Conservative Union of a huge number of people, was held in Maryland, where thousands of people attended. And the president spoke to this group, the vice president spoke to this group, a lot of important people spoke at this group. And this is just one of the anti-Muslim debates and panel discussions and lectures that took place. There was, I think, 8 minutes of a French politician. She's the daughter, she's the niece, actually, of Le Pen, who is renowned anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant, actually anti-Semitic also guy in France. She came to say, to talk about how France is turning into a mini-Muslim niece, and that America should not be happening. This should not be happening in America. So if you have any comments, please call 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. There is another lady who will be talking in this same panel, but I thought maybe I should break because of the phone calls that started coming to ask what is going on with True Talk. Why is True Talk like playing this? But this is a sample, guys, of what is out there, what we have to deal with. You may not feel threatened by it because you're not Muslim. Some of you, of course, will be very upset from knowing that this is what circulates. It's on YouTube, it's sent via email everywhere in the US and outside the USA. But that's the type of things we deal with on a daily basis, because I have to answer people. I have to answer people who say, Samar, what do you think of this? Why are there no zones in Sweden? And on a daily basis, we have to deal with, as a Muslim, with such negative hysteria and such negative propaganda. And to know that Frank Gaffney advised the president, and the president and his assistant, I think his name is Stephen Miller, coordinate in order to write about banning Muslims from entering the country, this is very dangerous. This is the danger that happened to democracy and freedom of speech. These type of hysteria lectures that tries to promote hatred and create fear. They did mention earlier, for instance, China, but I'm not sure how they are lumping China, Russia with the Muslims, and especially they talk about radical Muslims and the Muslim Brotherhood, and the three are just like oil and water. They don't mix. So if you have any questions, this is your chance before I play the second segment, 813-239-9663. Do we have anybody on the line there, Patty?
No, we're waiting for our first caller.
Okay, let's give them a minute or two. I am, as I told you, I'm now in the parking lot in Sarasota. What am I next to CVS Pharmacy? That's a great place to be at. So I am next to CVS Pharmacy on 41 in Sarasota because I was stuck in traffic. Doesn't happen very often, but it's a very busy season. So 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663 if you have any comment, or the caller maybe who called to say why on earth we are playing this should call back and tell us what they think. How about we take a short break, Kathy? I need to turn the AC on for a second. So let's take a short break. Maybe you can play one of the lovely songs that you have just added to the playlist. And again, the number here is 813-239-9663. And this is WMNF Tampa. ويقدر يقول لك انا هبدأ من بكره ويجي بكره يقول لك انا هبدأ بعده وفي الاخر مش بيرجع ولا بيعمل اي حاجه اللي مخليك كده هو الشيطان ومن كتر الوسوسه خلى نفسك هي كمان تبقى كسلانه انها تعمل اي حاجه خير وفي الاغنيه دي بخلاف انك هترقص عليها بس حبينا نوضح فيها رسالتنا يلا بينا يلا قاعد لوحدك كده سرحان الشيطان يوزك في سكه شمال يفضل يقولك العب يلا العب يلا العب يلا العب يلا العب يلا العب يلا. Welcome back to True Talk. This is your host Samar Jarrah, and we have a few people on the phone, 813-239-9663. And as I mentioned, I played a short segment of a panel discussion run by Frank Gaffney, who is considered as a racist, Islamophobe, hate monger. And he brought us a lady from Britain to warn you that I am a threat to your freedom of speech and your democracy. So let's take our phone calls. Patty, let's take whoever called first.
This is John in Tampa.
Okay, John in Tampa.
Good this issue objectively. And what I'm seeing is neither side is able to differentiate the action from the group. You have terrible wrongs by all groups, and you need to separate the individual. The action is what's wrong, not the group. You have Muslims that are good and that are supporting the community, and then you have Muslims that are hate-filled. You have Christians that are good and support the community, and then you have Christians that are hate-filled. You need to be able to separate the two. And I don't see you doing anything that's any different. You're calling all the group a hate monger. You're calling them xenophobic. I mean, that's not the case. They're making a statement about a particular action that's occurring and affecting them, which is good and right. You need to be able to separate the two. And that's rather disturbing. You cannot lump actions by an individual as the actions of the group. And that's all I have to say. And I think you really need to look at your own beliefs and be able to separate the two if you're going to get out and declare another group as hate-filled or a hate-monger or xenophobic. You need to look at yourself first. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I want to thank you for saying what you said, but I hope you are not, when you say you, mean me, Samar, because obviously you haven't been listening to this show, because Ahmed and I are always critical of terrorists and Islamic jihadists and terrorists and all that. And I wasn't lumping groups. I didn't say, for instance, the Christians or Jews or even conservatives. But to take your point, really seriously, how many panels were there that offered, for instance, a different point of view where there is no lumping? How many Muslims who try to explain, for instance, religion or Islam, or maybe what is going on with these Muslim groups is political. It's a political problem and should be answered and dealt with as a political problem, because religion has been there for 1,400 years. And we didn't have an ISIS or Al-Qaeda before we invaded Iraq. So maybe we need to look also at our foreign policy. I'm not saying that we don't need as Muslims to look at our preachers and to look at people who spread also hate against the West from the Muslim side. We have to do all that. But also we have to look at the political causes of what is going on, because in the 50s and 60s and 70s, our foreign government, especially the USA, was totally in bed, especially after the invasion of Afghanistan by the Soviet Union. We were totally and absolutely in bed together with the Mujahideen, and Reagan invited these people and pointed at them and said that they remind him of the founding fathers. So all of us, we need really to take a deep breath and look into the political background of all the mess that is out there. But thank you so much, really, for your phone call. Let's take another phone call, 813-239-9663.
This is Sid in Tampa.
We have Ted in Tampa. Go ahead.
Good morning. I was calling to thank you for playing that. And every bit of media coverage of that conference, I have seen nothing positive out of that group of people. Almost everything I've seen is makes me ashamed. And the fact they even had Le Pen speak at that event, it borders on, I don't know, almost treason against this society that they have those people. And the idea of that man that you had on the tape is in close connection with that Miller. It just proves that Miller. Anyway, I'm upset, but I wanted to thank you for playing that.
excuse me. Thank you, Ted. I appreciate it. Again, go ahead.
That's all.
Okay, thank you so much. Again, this is WMNF 88.5 FM, and this is True Talk, and we are talking about a segment that I played by a British lady who came to Maryland in order to spread hatred against Muslims who might take over America, not through immigration, but us who live here. They generalized in their short speech that I played. They don't just say that there are certain bad Muslims out there, but like they are saying that we are taking over this country. And there is no counter panel discussion where maybe there is a rebuttal or a chance for us to speak for ourselves and what we do here in America and why maybe America is different than Europe. But again, it's 813-239-9663. We have many people online, on the line, on the phone. Let's take one more phone call.
Summer, this is Teresa from St. Pete.
Let's go to Teresa from St. Pete.
Hi. I kind of wanted just to say that I know, as a Christian, there's bad and good in all religion, but when it comes to the Muslims, it seems like when any of them do anything wrong, they want to blame the whole religion. And I don't know, am I wrong? It just seems like when I hear that, it's always they just want to blame the whole religion for the actions of a few.
As I mentioned, Teresa, whatever is going on, although there is some religious cloak covering it, but everything is based on politics.
Right.
So people, unfortunately, if they want to explain it, it's really, to be honest with you, it's difficult. You need time. You need math. You need a lot of explanation. So it's and some people really have to have an enemy. If you look at the country of as the history of this country, when people went, let's say, for churches, they used the religion in order to justify enslaving the black people or killing the Indians. Or if you look at outside the churches, for instance, the way the black people are portrayed in Hollywood or on in the movies, it as if justifies abusing them. So unfortunately, people have a tendency to always create an enemy, to blame this enemy for all the ills on the society. If you look at some right-wing websites and Twitter accounts, they are blaming whatever Nicholas did in Florida, in the school, on Muslims. Although the guy had, for instance, a Nazi insignia on his own rifle, but nobody is talking about it. You know, when it comes to Muslims, unfortunately, our voices are not there on the mainstream media. Only WMNF will have a Muslim, American, Arab, Palestinian woman to be talking for 1 hour once a week. But the overwhelming media out there does not bring our voices, so it seems as if we are silent. We don't condemn acts of violence committed by Muslims, so people assume we are all one and the same and radical.
Yeah, and that in lies the problem, because it's not just because a few people in a certain religion are doing, you know, crazy stuff doesn't mean that all the people agree with it. And I know, I've listened to you and Hamid for years, and I know you always call out the terrorists regardless of who they are. And I know that because I've heard you say that. You condemn all that in all religions, and you know, in your own too. And so I don't know if these people aren't listening close enough or they're just recently listening to you, because I know I've been listening to you for years, and I know you have called out all the terrorists, no matter who they are. And that's a good thing, and that's good.
Okay, thank you so much.
And that's what we all should do, is call out the terrorists, no matter what, you know, who they are, what religion they are, what color they are. Doesn't matter. They're terrorists, and that's the end of, and that's the bottom line.
Thank you, Teresa. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
Again, this is 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. I'm not sure if we have time to play the other segment, which is even a bit worse. But let's see if we have more phone calls. You have your chance to voice your opinion, whether I like it or not, whether it's supportive or not. But that's really freedom of speech that we have to value. 813-239-9663. Anybody on the phone?
Yes, we have Zebulus in Clearwater.
We have Zebulus on Clearwater, from Clearwater.
It's Douglas in Clearwater. Actually, I, again, commend you. I caught half of the airing of the young lady from Australia or wherever. And I guess there are some kernels of truth in what she's saying. But I commend you for playing that. I think it's important that folks hear other things and get a different perspective. But that John guy is just... He was giving the same kind of argument I was having with my sister just the other day when I said, I told her, you have an intellectual laziness when you say, well, both sides do it. They all do it. And I was like, no, I said, Sister Karen, not all sides do it. When we're getting attacked, I can name on my hand, right on top of my head, how many white folks or even black folks on that right wing who have done something, said something crazy, but when you go and look on the other side, you're not seeing all this kind of vindictiveness. You don't see the Democratic and liberals trying to suppress votes or denying climate change or covering for our misogynist in chief. So it's not both sides doing it, and if you're going to say that, you need to give me examples of both sides. And I only see one side putting us in the dire straits that we're in. I'm going to get off and let someone else talk.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Again, this is 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. And by the way, there aren't many Democrats or on the other side of the aisle that are very vocal in defending Muslims or Palestinian rights or human rights when it comes to the Arab people, or condemning the Iraq war, or condemning what is going on in Yemen and Libya. And I mean, all of them condemn what is going on in Syria because they want their share in the pie. But when it comes really to U.S. foreign policy, I think there is a lot of agreement between the Democrats and the Republicans, because when Obama was in power, what did he do for the peace process? What did he do for Yemen? Or what did he do for democratization in the Arab world? Not much, really. Maybe they differ, that they are the people on the Republican side more vocal, more honest in talking about the issues. But when it comes to the Democrats, I do not see a huge difference between the two when it comes to foreign policy related to the Israeli conflict or the conflicts that are going on in the Arab world. But most importantly, and I think we should be concentrating on this point in on our radio show, democratization. Since the end of World War II, the West made sure that they suffocate any attempt of the real democratization in the Arab world. And you saw what happened with the Arab Spring. It was totally destroyed, and we see what is going on. When you don't give young people a chance to vent peacefully, unfortunately, many of them go underground and they go into radical movements and start to become radicalized themselves, although they tend to be in the middle or to the left. So that's my two cents about what is going on with the both parties. Again, 813-239-9663. Oh, gosh, I can't speak. I need coffee. 813-239-9663. Let's take some phone calls.
Summer, this is Justin in Tampa.
And we have Justin in Tampa.
Yeah, so I'd like to respond first to some of the rhetoric by the speaker that you played. When she's talking about migrants and referring to them as cockroaches, I think that immediately shows her bias in her supposed journalism work that she said she did in Calais. I can't imagine that she had any kind of empathy for the people who are in that camp after her previously published attacks on them. Secondly, when she's talking about these people who are in these camps, they didn't choose to come to these places. They're being forced out by imperialist powers, oftentimes under the guise of Christian nations and implicit xenophobia. When she referenced South Africa and talked about how it's so sad that white people, hard for white people to live there anymore, that is appalling because South Africa was colonized by white people. That isn't their land. And there should be no real defense for the people that are staying there that are white. If they're asked to leave, they should leave because they have colonized other people's land. And this is a continual kind of argument. You know, your caller that called in, John, who came from the Christian perspective, saying, "Oh, it's just crazy on both sides. Why don't you get your side together too?" Right now, there is much more aggression and displacement and violence towards Muslim people in the Middle East than there are towards a Christian nation such as ours, as we deem ourselves. And beyond that, when you talk about both sides, once again, there are much more white Christian male terrorist attacks that occur on our own soil than ever occur by any kind of Muslim immigrant. And I think that's something we have to acknowledge as well. I don't want to take up too much time, but I wanted to point those things out. Thank you.
I want to thank you, Justin, but wanted to ask you if you're still on the line. She mentioned something twice by passing, and it said, you know, like when the immigrants and all this is being arranged by Rome. To me, it struck me as if she is referring to the Vatican or the Catholic Church, and I felt she is fomenting even hatred towards the Vatican or the Catholics. I'm not sure if you listeners felt that way, but for me, as an outsider, let's say, of Christianity, I felt that when she referred to Rome, there she was condescending, and there was this hidden accusation that Rome is behind that. And for anybody who has traveled outside the USA, let me tell you, 45 euros in a hotel in Europe, that won't get you a room in a slum area. What's 45 euro? It's nothing. I mean, the cheapest hotel in Europe is 150 euros. So I don't see why she thinks 45 euros a day for an immigrant in a hotel in Italy is something that people will, like hotel owners will like. But I'm not sure if Justin is on the line still to answer if he believes the same thing that I did, that when she mentions Rome, it's most likely she means the Vatican.
Line, but it's really hard to hear you. I think it was a phone connection. My truck is loud, so I couldn't hear some of your points. I apologize about that.
But,
I just welcome to show solidarity against these people who are trying to further the exploitation of the Muslim people and of the Arab world.
Thanks so much, Justin. I'm sorry because I am stuck on the highway, too. You look like you're driving. So this is the best we can do in these circumstances. But I think we can take some phone calls. We still have maybe 6 minutes to go. 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. And if anybody's on the phone already and you have a comment, or if you agree or disagree with me when this lady was talking about that Rome is kind of responsible for this immigration, if you think she was insinuating that the Vatican or the Catholic Church somehow is behind this conspiracy. But again, it's 813-239-9663. Do we have anybody on the line?
Yes, we do. Sister Kelly is on the line from Tampa.
We have.
I appreciate your investigations and the very smart and intelligent programs you bring. This woman remind me of a Southern Baptist missionary, white, that came to our little homeland in South America, and we were brought up under that indoctrination that they were right and they had it all together. And we were lacking in so many but we weren't lacking in giving them the best that we produced, the best that we had, because we were raised up under this literal biblical teaching of turn your cheek and give them your coat and your... And so we gave and gave, and they did not teach us to have integrity and to follow Jesus' example of standing up for ourselves. So Colombia colonialize us and dominate us with their military. And my little homeland is an example of why people, the natives, have to leave and become refugees in other places. And this is what Justin said is so perfect to my thought process. And Israel, they teach literally that Israel is special and chosen. And now we have a huge group of black so-called believers that they feel that if they do not get to the Holy Land, their Christian life is not complete, because they believe that Israel is such a special land. And that is very, very distressing to hear that woman. She brought back a lot of old feelings from my childhood, because I always thought there was something wrong with the white man coming and enjoying a fanciful, luxurious life and letting the natives feel that there was something lacking. And so thank you for such an, and I pray that you have more of such programs to present. Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you, sister. I really appreciate it, and especially your blessings. I appreciate it. Let's take, I think we have chance to take two more phone calls, but very quickly. Let's go with the first.
Greg in Tampa.
Greg in Tampa.
I can't follow a nun. How am I supposed to follow a nun? Someone of honor like that? You know what? There's not enough time to get to my point. God bless. I'm Yisrael Elchai. Bob Atkins says hello. Goldman Sachs.
Okay, I'm not sure what he was saying, but let's go to the last caller for the day.
This is Levi at the Polk Plantation.
Levi? Yes, Levi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. So I'm responding to a caller about maybe perhaps three callers ago. He mentioned that there were Christian or Christ terrorists. And I would ask, like, what kind of people follow the Christ and act in terror? The people that call, that claim to follow the Christ, somebody really should ask them, like, what is it about the Christ that they admire? You know, because the basis of the teachings is the scripture. And if people call themselves Christian, then they should back their, you know, word by the book. And the United States is a pagan nation. They borrowed the pagan idolatry from the Roman Empire. It is not a Christ nation. The pilgrims came here and formed a Christian settlement, which was separate from the plantation model of the colonies of the South. It was just after the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, the law was written to include all faiths.
Levi, I hate to interrupt you, but I think we're running out of time. Maybe next week I'll open the phone lines to and continue the conversation. I really don't mean to cut you off.
But thanks so much for the phone call. And to our listeners, I want to thank you all for understanding the difficulty of being stuck on the highway. But I want to thank really Patty for making it possible. I'm going to sign off now because I'm not sure exactly when NPR News is going to come. So this is WMNS 88.5 FM. I'm sure Patty can play some music until we come to NPR News.